Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Another jam-packed show for you guys today. We got a lot of live events going on. We just had one of the Wimbledon semifinals on the women's side finish up. We will dive into that. We also got the first round of the Scottish Open underway. Justin Thomas is leading everybody at 8-under par. We will discuss that. We got baseball games getting ready to start in 10 minutes, about 10 games on the Major League slate today. We'll give out some best bets there. We're previewing the Wisconsin Badgers on the show today. Ben Wargill standing by, get his thoughts on the Badgers for the upcoming season. We have Matt Horner joining us for Model Making Money later on in the show as well. Then, of course, we got Euro 2024. The final is set between Spain and England. We'll give out some thoughts there and our favorite plays for today. Any comments, questions, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, let us know, especially anything on the Wisconsin Badgers for the upcoming season. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. Anything that you have to discuss, let us know, and we'll try to get to it throughout the show. Let's get this thing going, though. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. Ben Wargill is joining us. You can give him a follow on X at the Badger Nation. He has covered Wisconsin athletics since 2004. And, Ben, I love the hire of Luke Fickell a couple years ago for Wisconsin. He's entering year two, and it didn't work out really with Tanner Mordecai last year. They go to the transfer portal. They get Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. What are the expectations in year two under Luke Fickell with Van Dyke and this offense for Wisconsin?
Well, I think the reason it didn't work out with Tanner Mordecai is because he got injured, and really a lot of pieces around him were injured too. You know, offensively, we heard about Luke Fickell coming in and then bringing in Phil Longo, you know, the air raid, how Wisconsin was going to throw it 50, 60 times a game and really kind of spread things out, brought in a lot of transfer wide receivers. But there just wasn't any flow, any synergy with the offense because pieces were missing, guys were adjusting to a new scheme, and the offense really struggled. And that was one of the big issues that Paul Chryst had towards the end of his tenure. Probably the reason why he was fired at Wisconsin was because the offense was taking steps backwards with Graham Mertz under center. And then you bring in Mordecai, veteran guy, just can't stay healthy. And again, Wisconsin's offense kind of was rudderless for a long period of time. You bring in Tyler Van Dyke, who was the ACC Offensive Rookie of the Year at Miami, had a great season a couple years ago, but then is coming off, you know, a really poor season for him with the Hurricanes. And there was issues with the fit with the offensive coordinator. And so now this is kind of a fresh start for him. And this is another kind of air raid type spread quarterback that Phil Longo is looking for to run the offense. And now all these offensive pieces are kind of back for another year. To get Ches Malusi at the running back position back, he's coming off another season-ending injury, but he was healthy and is moving forward, should be ready for fall camp. That will help kind of replace Braylon Allen. You have Will Pauling, who was one of the top young wide receivers in the Big Ten last year with his number of catches. You have some other pieces that have really kind of blossomed around him. The tight end position, which was really decimated with injuries and medical retirements before the season, is now looking stronger than it was the year before. And your offensive line, the bedrock of your offense, has a lot of pieces back. Some guys that pushed off the NFL for another year. So the pieces are there. Year two in the offense looks a little bit better. I think that's what's encouraging for this program, for Luke Fickell, and for offensive coordinator Phil Longo, that they'll be more explosive and more multidimensional than they were a year ago.
A great stat I found on Wisconsin, Ben, was the fact that last year they were 7-0 when they ran the ball 35 times or more, and they were 0-6 when they ran it 35 times or less. Do you think, listen to you and Phil Longo and the air raid, again, sounds like maybe they try and go to the passing attack a little bit more, but with Ches Malusi there, do you still think this is going to be the Wisconsin that we're accustomed to? Do you think we see just more of a physical kind of running game with them this season?
Well, that's the offense they had to run last year, because when you bring in Brian Locke, who was really playing for his first reps ever in college, you had to lean on a guy like Braylon Allen, who a high NFL draft pick among the running backs going to the New York Jets, very productive in his tenure. You have to utilize that kind of asset, but then when Allen gets hurt and your backups get hurt, and then you have inconsistency at the wide receiver and tight end position, like I mentioned, you just have to go with what your strength is at the time, and that's running the ball. Now, Phil Longo has been able to kind of morph his offense around the pieces. He's been doing that ever since he got into as an offensive coordinator, eons ago. But ideally, you want to see more impact from the wide receiver spot. And you look at the wide receivers that Wisconsin has at their disposal now, via guys from the portal, guys that they've recruited, both the new staff and the former staff. There's a lot of options here for this offense, and I think to be able to balance it is ideally what Wisconsin wants to do. They don't want to be a team that's going to run the ball 35 sometimes. They want to be a team that's going to be more kind of, around 50-50 run and pass. So it really depends on your personnel, and I think Wisconsin feels they have a personnel package that's going to allow them to throw it more, but again, time will tell when games start counting for real. And thankfully this team has a couple good home warm-up games before their big non-conference tilt against Alabama and Madison on September 21st or something like that.
Yeah, they have a tough September schedule. They got Bama, as you mentioned. Their first Big Ten game is against USC, so a tough little slate there. Before we get into the schedule, Ben, just want your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball, because whenever we think about Wisconsin, the offense is always the question mark. The defense is usually really solid. You expecting another good year from Wisconsin defense?
Yeah, primarily because they bring back two really key pieces. Hunter Wohler is a safety, was one of the top tacklers in the Big Ten last year. Their emotional leader, very, very frustrated he was last year at Wisconsin's inability to close games, particularly late in the year. Now, they won back-to-back games to get themselves in the bowl picture by being rivals Nebraska and Minnesota, but there were so many games last year where there were winnable options that Wisconsin, for whatever reason, offense and defense, just didn't make the big play. And Wohler was always the guy out front and center. And you can see there in practices that he is still that guy that is the team captain, not just the defense, but the entirety of the entire roster. And that's important for an in-state guy, too, to have that kind of power. And then Ricardo Hallman is another player who could have maybe dipped his toe in the NFL waters, was a third-team All-American last year at cornerback. He is back for another year. So you have two really key pieces in your secondary you can build around. Wisconsin, Luke Fickell wants to be a program that is going to recruit high school kids and develop them, but he hasn't been afraid to go into the portal. And you bring in a couple really talented outside linebacker prospects. You have some really key pieces on the defensive line that are back. Wisconsin's defense was good last year. It wasn't great. They have the pieces to be a great defense this year. And finding the right kind of prospects out of the portal to fit the scheme, as opposed to making guys who are leftovers from the Paul Chris era and putting them into an unfamiliar scheme, this seems like the fit will be a lot better this year for this defense.
Ben, you were mentioning the schedule, and it's really interesting for Wisconsin, because the three toughest teams that they play are all at Camp Randall: Bama, Penn State, and Oregon. They don't have to play Michigan this year. They don't have to play Ohio State. There's a stretch in the schedule, though, where they're going to have to go on the road for four of their six games in the middle of the season. Their win total right now is sitting at 6.5 wins. It feels like that's a pretty good number. It feels like Wisconsin is like a 6-7, maybe an 8-win team this season. How do you see it playing out for the Badgers this year?
Yeah, well, the September will tell us a lot. I mean, they have, I think, Western Michigan they open with. I think they have South Dakota in week two, and then the Alabama game, 11 a.m. I think it's September 14th now that I think about it. Then you have the bye, and then you open Big Ten play at USC. It'll be interesting to see what USC is going to be this year, because they got question marks too, especially without Caleb Williams under center. Then the beginning part of your Big Ten schedule is okay. Purdue at home, at Rutgers, you have Northwestern, you know, it's not that tough of a starting schedule, but the latter block is big. You know, you mentioned Penn State and Oregon. You have to go to Iowa there. Iowa and Wisconsin always play these physical games. You know, Iowa has been one of the better teams defensively in the Big Ten West that will challenge Wisconsin's offense. You end the year with Nebraska and Minnesota, two rivalry games. So, you know, I know there's a bye thrown in there too, but that's a really tough closing stretch for Wisconsin. You know, 6.5, that's a solid number. I think Wisconsin is a 7, maybe 8-win team. It depends on how September goes. You know, how do they perform against Alabama? What corrections do they make coming off the Alabama game? You know, preparing for the trip to USC. How will they use that stretch after USC, which kind of maybe takes the gas pedal off, put off the gas pedal a little bit in terms of competition? How will they handle those opponents before that really tough closing stretch? So, really, the tone will have to be set in September by this team. If they go 3-1, I would consider that a huge win for this program, and that will push them above that 6.5 total. If they stumble, if they lose to Alabama and USC, you know, it will be a challenge for them to get to 6 wins to keep that, you know, very impressive 20-plus year bowl streak alive.
Very good. Ben Wargle, check him out on X at the Badger Nation. Has covered Wisconsin athletics since 2004, joining us here on Send It In. Ben, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great season, and hope to catch up again at some point.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, yeah, really good stuff there. From Ben, Wisconsin Badgers, the upcoming season. We will talk about Wisconsin here right now. And again, you can see the schedule. Ben was mentioning some of the games. They open up against Western Michigan, then they have South Dakota at home, and then that's that big week three matchup against Bama in Camp Randall. That game's not at Lambeau. It's not in a neutral site. That is a campus game, which is going to be awesome. 11 a.m. kickoff. Then you have the bye week, and Big Ten play starts at USC. When I look at Wisconsin's schedule, and again, we were talking about this with USC yesterday, I find it really interesting that hypothetically, there's really no game that you look at and you're like, yeah, that's a loss for Wisconsin, right? Because if they had to play at Bama, if they had to play at Oregon, you'd look at those games and you say, okay, they're probably not going to win those games. But with all those games being at home, they're probably not going to win all three. They're probably not even going to win two of them. But there's a good shot they're probably going to win one of those games. Wisconsin's got one of the best home field advantages in college football. So the schedule is pretty favorable. It really all does come down to Tyler Van Dyke, though. And again, the talent's there. Freshman year, he was awesome. Coming into last year with Mario Cristobal, a lot of people liked Miami. They thought that Van Dyke potentially could be a first-round NFL draft pick. He's got a big-time arm, can make all the throws. It's just, you know, I mean, they're taking a risk for him. But Wisconsin is a program that can do that because they're one of those programs that consistently they've been so solid defensively, they're searching for that answer on offense. And if they, Van Dyke, I mean, if they can get the most out of his potential, he certainly could be that guy. I mentioned that stat with Ben that I thought was really interesting. 7-0 last year when Wisconsin ran the ball 35 or more times, 0-6 when they ran it less than 35 times. Ben brought up a good point. A lot of it had to do with the personnel, the injuries that they had, the inability to throw the ball down the field. Wisconsin, it's going to be how we monitor that situation with Van Dyke and what they're able to do through the air will tell us a lot. And certainly that September schedule, right? Playing Bama September 14th, USC September 28th, that will be extremely interesting as well. But also don't sleep on that stretch from October 5th to November 16th, where they have to play 4 of those 6 weeks on the road, and one of those weeks is a bye. So they only get really one home game during that stretch, which is going to be really, really tough for them. The win total, as I mentioned, 6.5. The over is juice minus 150. The under is plus 125. I could only take the under, especially at that price. At 6.5, 6.5 feels like the right number. What I like doing is going through a schedule and I like trying to find out what my number would be. And I went through Wisconsin's schedule, and I have written down, if it was 5.5, I would take the over. If it was 7.5, I would take the under. And at 6.5, it would be dependent on the price. And at -150 to the over 6.5, that's why I would lean to the under, because you're getting +125. I think Luke Fickell's a fantastic coach. I think year two under him, they're going to be a lot better. But again, Tyler Van Dyke's one of these quarterbacks, a lot of question marks about him, and a lot that he has to prove this season going to a completely new system. But the schedule for the Badgers is favorable, having the Ducks, Penn State, and Bama at home. I think Wisconsin's going to be like a 6 or 7 win team. That number seems spot on. Because we're getting the +125 with Wisconsin, though, to the under, that is the bet that I would lean. 80-1 to win the Big Ten, wouldn't touch that. 10-1 to win the College Football Playoff, would not touch that either. I think Wisconsin's ceiling this year is 8. Maybe 9 wins. I don't think they will be a College Football Playoff team, though. So I would not take that with Wisconsin. All right, let's do a little preview, Peach. Catch you up on everything going on right now in the sports world. We got the Genesis Scottish Open currently underway. We'll give you a live leaderboard right now. Justin Thomas is your leader at 8 under par. You got Sung Jae-im at 7 under par right behind him. A couple of guys on the DP World Tour at 6 under. Thomas Dietrich is at 6 under. How about our guy Ludvig Åberg? I was joking with Shawnee Sharp before we got on air. Ludvig was at 3 under par heading into the par 5. I said it'd be really nice if we got an eagle birdie to finish. Well, we got an eagle on 16. We got a birdie on 17. Maybe we can get ourselves one more birdie to close here, but he's tied for third, so that is a great start. Davis Thompson, who won last week, 5 under par. A lot of people were wondering how Rory McIlroy would fare after the last time we saw him at Pinehurst and he missed those short putts. 5 under opening round for Rory, really good. Tommy Fleetwood, 5 under. Corey Connors, 5 under. How about we gave out Corey Connors and Tommy Fleetwood as well? So we're having a pretty good start, pretty good round one so far to the Scottish Open. And these conditions, we talked about it yesterday during the show. In the 5 years that they have played this event, where it's been co-sanctioned with the PGA Tour and they've gotten a really good field, you've had the winning score be 7 under and you've had the winning score be 22 under. It all depends on the conditions, the wind. That's really the great defense for the Scottish courses. So today, conditions very easy, and that's why you're seeing the scores the way that they are. If we can start getting some wind to pick up, which I think it will over the weekend, I like our guys even more. So the fact that Corey Connors, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludvig, the fact that they all got off to a good start, and hopefully the conditions can pick up a little bit, while guys start to drop, I think our guys will remain relatively steady, if not continue to climb. So looking forward to that. We also got the Wimbledon semifinals. We have Pelini advanced to the final, so that's huge for her. We got the other semifinal going on right now, and then tomorrow we got the men's Wimbledon final. Alcaraz and Medvedev's going to be the big one. Alcaraz is -350 in that match. Medvedev is +250, and Djokovic against Musetti is a -750 to win that match. We know Novak's going to go to the finals. That would be a monstrous upset if Musetti is able to take care of it. I think Medvedev at +250 is certainly worth a look, though. I like the over in that match. Anytime we get semifinal matchups and we get two clear betting favorites, and I can just look at two semi matches and know that everybody is going to parlay Alcaraz and Djokovic together and lay the juice and bet that parlay, I always like trying to pick out which semifinal match I think is going to be the one that prevents that parlay from hitting. I just can't see a path for Musetti. He's had an incredible tournament. He's going up against arguably the GOAT on the men's side on his best surface. So I can't take Musetti to beat Novak. But Medvedev's been playing really well. Alcaraz has struggled in a couple of these matches. He's been able to pull it out. I think +250 is a really good price there on Medvedev. So I would take that with him tomorrow to get the job done. Then we got the Euro final on Sunday between Spain and England. I'm going to keep riding our boys from England. I think it's coming home. What's been incredible about England in the 3 knockout round matches that they have had so far, they've been trailing in all 3 of them, and they found ways to win all 3. It's been very un-England-like so far in the Euro. Spain's been the best team in the tournament. There's no doubt about it. We all had a bad beat yesterday on our tie bet with England scoring in stoppage time, but I would come right back to the tie in the championship, plus 185. I like England to win in penalty kicks at plus 700. And I also like England to lift the trophy at plus 110. I think we could sweep the board with all three of those plays. I will be betting England. Spain is the best team, yes, but England right now has just got the vibes. They got the feel of that team that looks like they're going to win it all. So I'll ride with England one more time. They've been good to us so far throughout the knockout round, and I will continue to bet them throughout. All right, let's talk some baseball. A little big league peach here on Send It In. B Mills wants to know, I got Mark Vientos of the Mets over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs at minus 125, a lefty on the hill, wind blowing out. How does that sound? I like it a lot, B Mills. I also like Jeff McNeil's, a guy that I'm targeting today, 7-for-9 in his career against Mackenzie Gore. I think batter pitcher history means a ton. Yes, Jeff McNeil's been struggling this season. Dansby Swanson's been struggling this season as well. He was 1 for his last 29 entering the Cubs and Orioles game yesterday. We talked about how Dansby was 9 for 15 in his career against Corbin Burns. He got 2 hits off of him yesterday. So I would look at Jeff McNeil. I think that's a guy who could have a big day. Beef underscore VZ, Pirates and Phillies first five, and then Pirates first five, Phillies first five. Just to clarify, I do like the Pirates' first five today. It is Skeens' day. I think he's going to have another great start against the Brewers. Phillies' first five, I'd be a little bit careful of. There's a great trend in Major League Baseball this year. Teams that are looking to avoid the sweep, whether it's a 3 or 4 game series, that last game, if your team's trying to win just a game in the series, it's hitting at a 68% clip. We got a couple of those spots today, the Dodgers being one of them. Two best teams in the National League. I think the Phillies have proven that they're the better team. I don't think they get the sweep today. So I actually like the Dodgers to win the game, and I would lean towards the Dodgers in the first five as well. As for some of the other games that we got going on later today, Blue Jays and Giants, that game gets going at 3:45 p.m. Eastern time. Jordan Hicks going up against Kevin Gausman. I'm going to take Jordan Hicks on the money line at minus 125 and the Giants. Blue Jays bats were out of control yesterday, scored a ton of runs. I think the Giants quiet them a little bit today. They bounce back and they get the win. Dodgers, as I mentioned, looking to avoid the sweep today in Philadelphia. I think they do that. I like the price with them at plus 125. I also think the Orioles avoid the sweep against the Cubs today. O's, for whatever reason, have just really struggled against the NL Central this season. They're 2-8 against the NL Central. They lost 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. They got swept by the Cardinals, 2 out of 3 against the Pirates, and here they are losing the first 2 games against the Cubs. So whatever it is about the NL Central has given the O's fits. Justin Steele, Cubs' best pitcher, along with Imanaga on the mound today going up against Albert Suarez, who certainly is due for some regression, but I don't know if it's coming today against this Cubs lineup, so I will take the Orioles to get the win. I like Tampa Bay plus 100 against the Yankees today. I think I have the Yankees figured out, and I liked them yesterday against Tampa, and that was because it was a good buy low spot on New York. Throughout this skid that they've been going on, they have been favored pretty much in every game. Yesterday, I think the books, the odds makers were like, you know what? We're not making the Yankees favorites anymore. We're done doing this. People clearly want to bet against them, clearly want to fade them. And then, of course, the Yankees win yesterday. Well, now here they are as favorites once again against Tampa. So I think it's once again time to buy back in and fade the Yankees. So I'll take the Rays today. I also would keep an eye on Yandy Diaz, 12 for 30. He's batting 400 in his career against Nestor Cortes. So a matchup that he absolutely loves today. Give me the Red Sox to bounce back against Oakland. I like them on the run line, minus 120. I also like Seattle on the run line today against the Angels. The Angels are bringing up a minor league pitcher making his major league debut. He's gotten absolutely rocked in the majors. Now, it is Seattle's lineup, which gives you a little cause for concern, but Luis Castillo is on the mound, which helps. I think the Mariners can win like a 4-1 kind of game today. And then also, I will take the Atlanta Braves and Max Fried today, minus 130. I think Fried pitches really well. He's been pitching excellent ever since he's come back. I think he continues that today. So I like Atlanta against the D-backs. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner. See what his plays are for today. Matt, before we get some of your bets, what is the BetQL model like today? What are some of their 5-star plays?
Yeah, so I just heard you talk about how you like the Pirates in the first five. Well, we're going to go the opposite way. We're going to take the Milwaukee Brewers in the first five on the money line at plus money here. Savale is going for the Brewers. He's due for some serious positive regression. 5.18 ERA with a 4.15 expected and 4.15 expected FIP as well. Milwaukee, they have the better offense against right-handers. I know Skeens is on the mound. He's fantastic, obviously. Brewers have a 112 WRC plus against righties, much better than the Pirates offense. And the Brewers have the much better defense as well than the Pirates. So we're just showing a little value here at plus money on the Brewers in the first five. So that's what we're going to do. Five-star play, Brewers first five at plus money.
All right, very good. We'll see what happens. How about you, Matt? What are some of your favorite plays on today's baseball slate?
Yeah, so my best bet is going to be the opposite of what you're talking about with the Orioles game, my Cubs going against your Orioles. I'm going to go with the Cubs here to actually get the sweep of the Orioles, which I never thought I would be saying. But I think it's going to happen because Justin Steele is just a much better pitcher than Albert Suarez. You were talking about the regression that Suarez has coming for him. Definitely. 2.48 ERA, 4.01 expected ERA, 4.65 expected FIP. He has an 82.2 strand rate, 2.68 BABIP, and a 3.17 walks through nine. Lots of regression coming his way. I know the Cubs offense isn't fantastic, but they've been heating up a little bit in this series. I think they can put some damage on Suarez. Steele is just the far superior pitcher. I know that the Orioles have a better offense, better defense, better bullpen, but at the same time, I think the starting pitching advantage is just so massive for the Cubs in this game over Suarez that at plus money, I'm going to take the Cubs here. So I'll probably split a unit. I'll probably put a half unit on the first five and a half unit on the full game money line for the Cubs tonight.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Again, Cubs trying to go for the sweep today against the Orioles. Home Run Derby field is set, Matt. We know all the guys that will be competing. We got the odds out for that. Is there anybody, first initial look, that maybe caught your eye for the Home Run Derby?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to sprinkle Marcelo Ozuna. He was the first one I looked at. His barrel percentage and his hard hit percentage have been elite this season. They've been fantastic. I think plus 450 odds is really good for him. The only problem is that his swing and miss rate has been far, but if he's going to be hitting ducks here, I think, you know, he could definitely pretty much keep up with anybody in this race. The favorite is Pete Alonso, but I'm not going to be backing the favorites for any sort of all-star festivities. That never happens. I like to look at some value, even playing some guys that really, you know, big prices, 12-1, 15-1, sprinkling that type of stuff. I hate backing favorites in these type of scenarios, but I love Ozuna. I think he has a really good chance at plus 450.
I think that's a good look. And then I want to get your thoughts. We got the Euro final on Sunday between Spain and England. Anything that catches your eye there that you're thinking about betting between England and Spain?
Yeah, so first of all, I won't say that I'm any professional soccer bettor. Don't watch soccer, hardly ever do, but that doesn't mean I don't put some sprinkles on soccer, especially big tournaments like Euro. I love where you were coming from with the draw, and that's what I've been doing with pretty much all these games that are like lined to be semi-close in terms of these teams. I love backing the draw at these plus money prices. It's plus 185, as you were talking about here, for these two teams to be tied in regulation. Both teams are great. They were the two favorites coming into the tournament, and I think it's a real big possibility that they could have a draw. So plus 185, way too enticing for me. I'm going to be sprinkling something on the draw for sure. That's definitely my favorite bet.
I love it. Yeah, we had a tough beat yesterday with that, Matt, with the goal in stoppage time. We were right there. It was the right side, but I'm with you. We're running it right back on Sunday. I think that is the play as well. Matt Horner joining us here, model making money on Send It In. Matt, always appreciate the time, man. Good luck. We'll talk again soon.
Sure, thanks. Thanks, BJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, we're wrapping up the show. It is time for PJ's Plays. Ludwig nearly makes another birdie on 18. Shawnee Sharpe, we almost manifested that eagle birdie finish. But we'll take the eagle birdie par as he finishes his round at 6 under. So a great start for Ludwig, certainly in the mix. As for today, I mentioned Jeff McNeil. That game is underway right now with the Mets and the Nats. But if you can get in any Jeff McNeil props, I would look his way. 7-for-9 in his career against Mackenzie Gore. He is my guy today in going streaking. As for my prop lock, we're going to go with Yandy Diaz over 1.5 total bases today for the Rays against the Yankees. Again, another guy with great history. Yandy, right-handed hitter, going up against the lefty Nestor Cortez for the Yankees. 12-for-30 in his career. Yandy, great history against Nestor. We'll go over 1.5 total bases, only minus 110. That is my prop lock for today. Dog of the day is going to come tomorrow in the WNBA, and we're going to take the Fever +2.5 against the Mercury. I like this spot a lot for the Fever. Yesterday, they lost this big 7.5-point favorites against the Mystics, one of the worst teams in the WNBA. They get a day off to think about it and then go right back at it tomorrow and play the Mercury as 2.5-point dogs. I was doing BetQL Daily earlier today with Chris Mack, and I was talking about this. The Fever are a team that I'm looking forward to fading as big favorites, but as small home dogs or underdogs, I think that's a good spot to bet Indiana. I like them tomorrow, +2.5 against the Mercury. Shawnee Sharp, real quick, sir, your best bet today. What do you got?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going to take the Dodgers to avoid the sweep on the money line. It's not very often you're going to see Dodgers at +125, so I'm going to take advantage of that, and hopefully they get us some money here.
You're a smart man, Shawnee Sharp, because that is my best bet. We are Team Dodgers on the show today. What could go wrong at +125? Again, it's going to be tough for the Phillies to sweep the Dodgers today. Not saying they can't do it. They certainly have the pitching advantage with Nola, but I like the Dodgers as well. Once again, to recap our best bets for today, Jeff McNeil, 7-for-9 in his career against Mackenzie Gore. He's going to be our guy in going streaking. Yandy Diaz, over 1.5 bases, is going to be our prop lock. Fever, +2.5 against the Mercury, will be our dog of the day tomorrow. And then me and Shawnee Sharp, both on the Dodgers, +125 to get the win over the Phillies. Thanks again to Ben Wargle for his thoughts on Wisconsin, Matt Horner as well. If you guys missed any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking Maryland football to close out the week tomorrow with Jeff Ehrman. We'll see you there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.